I believe the return of Christ could be at any moment, and could very likely be that most of us sitting here, most of us, will see the return of Christ in our generation. And it calls us back to what are we here for? And really, some of what we want to I want to talk about this morning in the message, the title, of, I'm going to take it down a little different vein, but it ties in very well. The title of my message is, Who Are You? If I would come up to Elam and say, Elam, who are you? What would you say, Elam?
Can you give me a couple minutes?
He wants a couple minutes on that one. But if I would come up to each one of you and say, Who are you? What would you say? And I've heard people go into long discourses of who they are as people. I've heard people say, well, I'm so-and-so's son, or I'm so-and-so's son-in-law, or daughter-in-law, and we come up with all these things to describe who we are. But if I come up to you and say, but who are you really, what would you say? You know, beyond the physical things that we say, I might say, well, I'm a slayball, I'm so-and-so's son. But beyond that, who am I? What defines who I am as a person? What defines you as a person? If someone comes up and asks, who are you really? What defines you? For those of you that are visiting, our church is having some discussion on affiliation and where we're going to connect. And this message actually comes out of a question that Jordan had for me after our one meeting. And it stirred something that's been stirring in me for a long time. And I think it's important for us to consider as we talk about this as a congregation, but I think it's important for us to take a close look at our individual lives and evaluate where we're at in that whole thing. Jordan's question was this: are we using this whole affiliation thing as a crutch? And really what he's asking me is, are we as a church looking to be associated somewhere so that we can rely on them to hold us accountable for where we stand, or we can rely on them to give us vision? He was referring to a couple of statements that I made in that. A broader vision, a world vision. Are we relying on affiliation to do that? That's an excellent question. Because I think Paul speaks specifically to that question in Scripture, and I want to look at that this morning. And this morning I want to say this: I realize that what I'm talking on could be taken many different ways, and depending on where you're coming from this morning, you may take a portion of what I say and build a case on it, and I could be taken wrong. I want you to hear me out this morning, and I want you to hear me all of what I say, not just portions of what I say. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm actually going to read verses 1 to 4 and then come back and actually read. I'm going to read 1 to 4, then I'm going to come back and talk about them some more. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." And what he's saying is, he goes on in verse 2 then and says, "I fed you with milk and not solid food, because until now you have not been able to receive it, and even now you are still not able to receive it." In other words, what he's saying is, I've had to feed you just the basics of Christianity. I would have loved to give you something greater, something more meatier, the meatier things of the Word of God. I would have loved to preach those things to you and to speak to you about them, but you weren't even at a point where you were able to hear me in that. And so I've had to stay with the milk of the Word of God. And then in verse 3 he says, "For you are still carnal." That's the reason he wasn't able to give them the meat of the Word. It's because they were carnal. They were acting out of their own fleshly desires and wants. "For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" And I want to read verse 5 then as well. "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom we believed, as the Lord gave to each one. Several things I want to pull out of these verses and a number of verses after that in the chapter. I'm not going to read all of the verses just for the sake of time. But first of all, one of the things, my Bible, the heading says, Secretarianism is carnal. And we would know that as even denominationalism. And the one point I want to bring out this morning is, and I want to unpack those words a little bit later on, but carnality breeds secretarianism, or what we know today as denominationalism, comes out of actual carnality. Now, that's a staggering thought for us to be aware of, but that's what Paul says. Carnality is actually breeds the whole thing that we have today, what we know today as denominationalism. Paul is saying it's coming out of your carnality. It's coming out of the fact that you're operating out of the flesh. Being carnal means pertaining to the flesh, bodily or temporal or fleshly. And my Bible calls it secretarianism. And I'm going to give you two definitions. Of or relating to or characteristic of a sect or sectarian. And I want you to catch this next phrase. Limited in character or scope. Denominationalism is this. Devotion to denominational principles or interests. The emphasizing of denominational differences. And I want you to catch this next phrase here as well. To the point of being narrowly exclusive. In verse 3, Paul comes back and talks about the fact you're still carnal. And in your carnality, what's coming out is envy, which is actually, it's referring to their feelings, the feelings that they had inside of them, and it's referring to, envy means properly heat, that is zeal, indignation, jealous, or zeal, and he's referring to their feelings. He says, in your carnality, you're beginning to have feelings about things, and it's heating up. It gives a picture of your feelings are heating up. You're getting riled up about this kind of stuff. And you're beginning to be jealous about things and about each other. And really what was going on, and we'll see this in verse 4, I'll come back to this later, but one was saying, I can do this because I'm listening to Paul's teaching, and someone else was saying, no, I'm better than you because, I mean, Apollos, the other person, but then another person would come back and say, no, but I follow the real guy, I'm following Paul. And I can do these kind of things. I can do all this because I'm following Paul. And really, it was out of their fleshly desires and their carnality that they were even coming up with this stuff. And James has a lot to say about carnality as well. Actually, the whole Bible does, but I mean, as far as envy. For James 3:16 says, "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing is there." In other words, when we operate out of envy, confusion and every evil thing is present. When we operate out of envy, when we become envious inside of us. So Paul is talking about the envy, the feelings that they're having about what's going on in their church, their feelings about Christianity. They were operating out of envy, and it's referring to their feelings. And then he goes on to strife. Strife is a quarrel, a contention, debate, strife, a variance. And he's referring to their words. Out of these envious feelings that were going on inside of them, they began to get verbal with each other. And their words started coming back and forth, and they started being harsh with each other. And verbally, they were attacking each other, and they were becoming contentious with each other. And so Paul's dealing with their feelings and their words. And then he also talks about divisions, which is exactly what that is, but he's referring to their actions. First of all, you see a progression coming on here that Paul's talking about. It started with their feelings that's really coming out of their carnality, but it escalated to the words that they were throwing back and forth at each other, and then he talks about the actions that they were actually doing, and he gives the picture of, as a result of their feelings and their words for each other, they begin to pull back from each other and not associate with each other. anymore. And he's referring to the actions that they have, that they were doing. They were pulling away from each other and not associating with each other. And Paul says it's coming out of your carnality. It's coming out of the fact that you're just very carnal Christians. And it's why it's happening. The second point that I want to bring out to that in this is that, and it ties very closely to the first one, but sectarianism or denominational is a sign of a carnality. When that's going on, it's a sign that we're living out of carnal Christianity. In verse 4, Paul says this, "For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal?" And he's saying, when you get to the point where you're saying, I'm following Paul or I'm following Apollos, I'm following this person or that person, he said, it's a sign you're very carnal as Christians. You're being very carnal. You're operating very carnally as Christians. Those are strong words. I tell you what, when I actually started looking into this passage of Scripture, I had to reevaluate my own life and my own beliefs in some pretty incredible ways, but I want you to hear me out as I go through this. Verse 5, then Paul says, really, from verse 5 to actually verse about 17, he really is saying to them, you're acting this way, but it's very silly. It's a very silly way to act, because in verse 5 he says, who then is Paul or who is Apollos? Who are these guys that you're saying you're following? And he said, we're all ministers of Jesus Christ. We're all on the same team. I'm summing up a number of verses here. But we're all on the same team. And then in verse 11 he says, we're all laying and building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. In verse 13 he wants to remind them that each one of us, as ministers of Jesus Christ, our works are going to be tested before a higher, a greater thing. They're going to be tested before an almighty God, and our works are going to be put through the fire. And what comes out of the fire is really what's going to last. And really what he's saying is, we're building on this foundation, but we're not the final authority of things. We're not the end of all things. Even Paul is saying, what I'm teaching, what I'm preaching, my ministry, what I'm doing in the churches around this country is going to be put through the fire, and only then we will know what the final test is going to be. And Apollos is the same way. And he's saying, you're following people, and you're saying, I'm following this person or that person or the other person, but you're following people whose very works are going to be put through the fire, and they're going to have to answer before an almighty God for the work that we're doing. So why are you following us? I'm just summing up a lot of verses right there. And I want to come back and talk about that, go beyond that a little bit. But Paul's laying it out before them and saying, you guys don't even know what you're doing, really is what he's saying, because you're following a person and there's no reason for you to follow us. There's no reason to be caught up to it. And that brings us to the third point. Sectarian denominationalism actually robs us of God's best. And that's a staggering point, but Paul unpacks that in verses. Well, let me back up a little bit. Remember the definitions of sectarianism or denominationalism. It's limited in character or scope, or to the point of being narrowly exclusive. And so when we get wrapped up in this kind of thing, what Paul ends up saying in verse 21, in 18 through 20, he goes through and talks more. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are foolish. And really, he's continuing on in what he's talking about in about 5 through 17. He just continues on with that thought down through about 20. And then he comes back in 21 and says, therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Now, what does he mean by that? What does he mean? He's just talked about the fact that he is just a mere man, and his very works, his very ministry is going to be put through the fire to be tested whether it was real or not. And then he comes back and says, so don't boast in men. for all things are yours. And then in verse 22, whether Paul or Apollos, or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. And really what he's talking about there is, as we follow men, what he's saying is, why would you follow men? Why would you align yourself to the teaching of men when everything is available to you as an individual? Why would you limit yourself? And then he really comes back and says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life is or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And really what he's saying is the teachings that I am giving you as Paul, the teachings that Apollos is giving you as Apollos, and even Peter, those teachings are all available to you. And beyond that, there's something greater available. And he refers back to, really what he's referring back to is verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you? Don't you know that you everything is available to you, and the reason it's available to you is the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, so all things are available to you. And really what he's saying is, why would you limit yourself? Why would you align yourself to just the teaching of Paul? This is Paul saying, why would you align yourself just to my teaching when all that God has to offer is available to you? And as a result of that, what was happening is they weren't listening to any of the other teachers. They were saying, I'm only going to follow Paul, or I'm only going to follow Apollos. And they weren't opening themselves up to really all that God had to offer. Now, that's a pretty staggering thing for us to think about, because we are very familiar with denominations today, and we've grown up under that. And that's how we have, that's what we know, that's what we have experienced. But Paul is saying, why would you do that when you have all of Christ available to you? All of the Spirit. And so, actually, when we get involved in that, and I want to talk to you, I want to unpack a little bit. I'm not saying that denominationalism is all wrong. I'm not talking about that. But when we align ourselves so closely to something, we actually rob ourselves of all that God wants to give us. And that's pretty scary for us to think about. It's pretty scary for me to think about. Because I've grown up sort of thinking, like, this is the way to believe, and this is the way to think. And I was going to make a comment there, I won't. But we need to be careful. We need to be careful about that. And Paul is saying, why would you do that? Why would you allow yourself to get pulled in to those kind of things? I believe there's two reasons that denominationalism, when we're actually caught up in it, this is not from Scripture, this is just as I've observed over the years in some of my beliefs. I believe there's two reasons that when we really get caught up into denominationalism, it robs us of all that God has for us. I believe there's two reasons. One is, we are not open to other teachings. That's the first one. We don't listen to teachings from anything outside of. And I think we're probably, in where we're at, we're probably more open than we have been. But I know growing up, I was taught not to go to seminars or not to go places. That's how I was taught. Just listen to the preachers within our group, and we can become very exclusive in our beliefs and in our thought. As I've worked with other denominations over the years, I realize that every denomination has an element of truth in it. You know, as I worked with people in ministry in the prisons, and this may shock some of you, but I ran into Catholics that I believe were born again. Now, some of the ones we worked with, I would not say that, but there was a group of Catholics that we worked with in the prison there that I believed like we did, that you had to be saved through Jesus Christ. That's what they taught. And and I believe had a real experience with God. You could see it in their lives, in their actions. And I wasn't used to that coming out of it, and it took me off guard. But there's an element of truth. In fact, at our pastor's seminar the other week, one of the things John Koblenz talked about is the trend, even in today's society, toward more the rigid, even some of the Catholic, the monk, and I forget the other denomination. What's the other denomination that's close to that? Episcopal. Like, there's a trend actually toward those things because we've rebelled against some of those things, but there's a trend in society and Christianity that's all of a sudden waking up and saying, oh, they have something to offer us by the rituals that they do, by those kind of things, and it can be a worshipful thing, and that they have something to offer us. So even now, there's a trend going back to some of those things, the more conservative, the rigid, those types of things. There's a movement now going back to that. And I'm just saying that I think all of us denominations have an element of truth within us. Now, we also have gone off onto some other teachings as well. But we need to stay open. The problem is this. When we align ourselves with a particular denomination as And this is getting into my next point too a little bit. In fact, I'm going to bring that out. The next point I have in that is not only... I'm going to stay where I'm at. The problem is that when we align ourselves to a denomination, as that denomination drifts, a lot of times we drift with it. Because we're denominational. As the teaching within our denomination drifts, so do we. We go right along with it. And Paul says, don't align yourself and just listen to one group of people, because he comes back and says, because it's all yours. It's all yours. The truth of Scripture, no matter where it's taught in what any denomination, the truth of Scripture is all yours. The truth of Scripture is all yours. And I want to talk about that some more later on as well. The second thing I think the reason why it's so easy for us to be robbed of all that's for us is this. Many times we allow our denominations to do the teaching for us. We allow the denomination that we're a part of to teach me what I am to believe and teach my children what they are to believe. And we're not willing to do the hard work of determining what God is saying to us individually. And Paul talks about in Acts chapter 17, 10 through 12. I want to just read these verses. In the beginning of chapter 17, Paul was, and the rest of them were teaching. They were actually in, let me look here. They were in Thessalonica, and they did teaching. They were persecuted, so they left by night in verse 10, and they sent Paul to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. And then in verse 11, he says this, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with readiness." And then then he says this, "And searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." And Paul complimented the Bereans on the fact that they didn't just take his teaching at face value. They did the hard work of digging into the Word of God and discovering for themselves what God was saying to them. And I want you to catch that, because there's a big difference between allowing someone to do the teaching for us or us hearing the teaching of the Word and then doing the hard work of figuring out what the Holy Spirit is saying from us individually and if to us individually. And if we do the hard work, and what Paul is saying is the Bereans studied this out. They said, is this right? Is this what God's saying to us? And then they readily accepted the Word of God. And there's a big difference in those two, and let me tell you why. If we allow denominations to do the teaching for us, it means nothing, because all we have to do is shift our denomination and we go with the teaching that they do us, and we keep shifting and shifting and shifting, and we go right down the pike. If we go to the Word of God and get our beliefs, what we're called to believe from the Word of God, and God speaks to me individually and tells me what I'm to believe, I won't drift no matter what denomination I'm a part of or what direction the denomination that I'm a part of is going. I won't drift because I have done the hard work. And what Paul is calling the Bereans, he's complimenting the Bereans on, is the fact that they did the hard work. They didn't just believe him, what he talked about right off the top of the head, and said, oh yeah, that sounds good, I'm going with Paul, he's a good communicator, I'm going to follow him, and whatever he says, that's what we're going to do. They didn't do that. They did the hard work. And it says they searched the Scriptures daily, and actually searched is talking about they examined or searched, and it means that they sifted it up and down and made careful and exact research like you would in a court of law. Like we would go through the law and we'd figure it out. Is this actually true? Isn't it? What is this guy saying? Does it line up with Scripture? Is it accurate? But above all, what is God saying to me? Now there's a big difference if we've reached that point in our lives and we've come to the point where how we're living and our teaching that we're receiving comes because it has been given to us by God, not by our denomination. That's a huge different way of living our lives. And Paul is saying, when you operate out of carnality, when you allow denominationalism to be a part of your life, it actually robs you of the best. And I believe that's why. Because the best is when the Holy Spirit and God speaks it into our hearts. And we don't just believe it because we've been raised in a denomination or something like that. We don't say that we believe it. And as the teaching drifts, so do we. Because if God speaks it into our heart, we can stand strong and firm and true on that, because we've got it from the Almighty God and from the Holy Spirit of God, and we stand strong and true in that no matter what goes on around us. And so Paul is saying it robs us of the best that God has to offer us. Not only do we not do the hard work in a lot of cases, and we allow people to do the teaching for us, we don't do the hard work. But the other thing is this, we compare ourselves, and I've addressed this already. So often, if we allow a denomination to do the teaching for us, we compare ourselves with the people that we're associated with, not with the Scripture. There's a big difference in that as well. We compare ourselves with the people that we're around. And we say, oh, the teaching says this and everybody's doing this, so I'm okay. But if we've done the hard work, if we've done the hard work and God has spoken to our hearts, then we compare ourselves with Scripture, not people. And there's a big difference in those two. And I think Paul is addressing those things as he's speaking to them. He says, why are you saying you're of Paul, of me, and Apollos? I want you to go to the Scripture and find out what God is saying to you individually. I want you to do the hard work, and that you get it for yourselves, that it's in your heart, that it's in your souls, that you're teaching it to your children. You're not allowing your church, and this is true of churches too, not just denominations. It's anything that we allow or align ourselves to. You can be coming to our church saying the same thing. I want the church to teach my children. I want the church to teach my children what they're supposed to believe. I want them to teach me what I'm supposed to believe because I trust the pastors here at Life. That could be, I don't know that any of you are saying, but that could be how you're coming here. And Paul's saying, don't do that. You need to do the hard work. You follow the Holy Spirit of God. And then as the world changes around you, as things change around you, you'll be steadfast. You'll be secure. You'll be okay because you're not looking at Paul or Apollos. And really what he comes back to then at the end in verse 23, and this is the key, you are Christ's and Christ is God. And he's coming back and saying, once you've done the hard work, once you've absorbed that in, the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart and you've gotten a hold of that, you won't be swayed. You won't be going this way and that way because you are Christ. Christ has spoken to you, and it's a part of who you are. You are Christ, and Christ is God's. He's referring again back to verse 16 that we are the temple of God, we're the Holy Spirit. It's interesting to me. The other night we were able to see a person we haven't seen for a number of years, and moved outside of the area, and she was just saying to us, every time I come back to this area, I'm amazed at the shifts I've seen, just as a whole area. And she hasn't been back for a number of years, and she just said to us, you know, it's just amazing. I'm blown away by the shifts that we've seen. And I think a part of that is because it's so, we've gotten used to the denominationalism that we've grown up with and so much a part of, rather than us individually doing the hard work of figuring out what God is saying to us in our own hearts and what He's asking us, how He's asking us to live our lives and be intentional about that. I think that's why those kind of things happen. Some application for us. If our views of affiliation, denomination, get to the point that there are divisions among us, we're carnal. And you know, that goes for each one of us. We can't get around that from Scripture. Now, it doesn't mean we're disagreeing or that we have different views of what Scripture is. That's not what I'm saying. But when it comes to the point that we are envious of each other, there's envy and strife and divisions begin to happen. We're operating out of carnality. Second thing, as far as application, I think we need to be aware of the fact that depending on where we shake out of that, of this, it may rob us as far as affiliation. If our desire is to stick with an affiliation rather than to follow God, it's going to rob us of what of God's best for us. We have to be able to go back to Scripture and say, God, what are you saying to us? Now, the third point, I've unpacked those two pretty much. The third point that I want to talk about is, as far as application, is this. One of the things that you did not hear me say, I've been talking about the dangers of this whole thing of denominationalism. That's all you've heard me say. You did not hear me say that I didn't think there was any value, because I think there is, actually. But it all comes down to this. How are we approaching it? I think there's value in our heritage, what we've been taught. I'm not knocking any of that. I think there's value in us finding a group of believers that we can associate with and that encourage us in our walk and our commitment to Jesus Christ. I'm all for that. And I believe we need to have that. That encourages us in what we believe is scriptural. I believe there's incredible value to that. So don't go away from here saying he just trashed everything about denominationalism, because I realize what I'm saying can be very much misunderstood and taken out of context. There's dangers, and Paul points these dangers out incredibly. And when our mindset and our mode of operation is exactly what Paul is talking about, we're in trouble. However, if we've done the hard work and we know what God is saying to us and what Scripture is saying to us, and we look for a place where we can find encouragement and support for that, that's a completely different story. And there's value in that. There can be blessing in that. But do you see the difference between those two? And that's what I want you to get a picture of the difference between those two. If we've done the hard work, if we search Scripture, we're going to be solid and secure. Then we can find a place to belong. However, if we're allowing the denomination or whatever it is to do the teaching for us, we're in trouble. Because we're not doing the hard work. We're not doing. And that's what Paul's coming back to over and over again. I mean, coming back to when he's talking about this. Why would you follow me? Is really what he's saying. Why follow me? You have Christ. Do the hard work. Follow him. So the question is this. Who are you? What describes who you are? What describes who I am? Is it a fact that we're a part of a denomination? Well, I'm a Mennonite, or I'm a Baptist, or a Episcopalian, or a Catholic, or whatever the denomination is. Is that what really defines us? And what Paul is coming back saying, no, Christ is what defines you. Christ is the bottom line. And he builds that foundation. He says, that's the foundation we have been laying since we've met you and talked to you, that Jesus Christ is the bottom line. That's what defines who we are. Not where we go to church, not what denomination our church is a part of. What defines us? You know, it's interesting to me as I look at churches, and I'm not within our denomination and outside of our denomination, you can sort of tell. I can look at people and say, well, I don't know exactly, but I have a good idea. Most times I can place people within churches, and that's not all bad. Don't hear me wrong. But the question I'm leaving with us this morning, is that what defines us? Is that actually what defines us? Or do people look at us and say, now there's a follower of Jesus Christ. I can tell it by his face. I can tell it by his actions, his zeal for the Lord. Now there's a follower of Jesus Christ, and that's what defines him. Not what church he goes to, not what denomination, what any type of affiliation that he's a part of. What defines you? What defines me as we go through life? And if we're looking for a denomination, an affiliation to define us, that can always change, and we will change right with it. But if it's based on Scripture, if it's based on Jesus Christ, we won't change. Now, I'm not saying we won't look different, or I might comb my hair different or something like that, but our beliefs and who we are as a person will remain the same. It won't change from Sunday morning to Monday. It won't change from this year to next year, or from this year to 10 years from now. It won't change because my foundation is in Jesus Christ. I've gotten how I believe, how I live my life from Jesus Christ, not from a denomination or a man, as Paul talks about it. He says, you're following men. You're following either me or Apollos or one of those people. I want you to follow Christ, is what he comes back and says. So the question for us here this morning is, what's defining us? What defines our congregation? What defines our lives individually? And I hope as people look on us beyond everything else, they can look at us and say, there's a person that's sold out for Jesus Christ, or there's a church that is following Jesus Christ as best they know how. And they're open and obedient to what Jesus Christ is teaching them, and being obedient to the Scripture. That should be what defines who we are. Let's pray. Father, I realize, as I've preached, that this could be misunderstood. I pray that you would take these words and protect them in the name of Jesus. I pray that our thoughts and our lives would be, that you would continue to challenge our hearts. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would speak words of truth to us. Lord, I pray that we would follow you as a congregation, and that the fact that we're a follower of Jesus Christ, who is of God, would define our lives. That as things change around us in our world, that we could remain true and constant because you've spoken to our hearts and you have told us, and we've done the hard work of figuring that out, of searching the scripture. Is this really real, isn't it? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I was praying, I thought of one story I wanted to tell. Friend of, actually, I knew him very well, but he was a good friend of my brother's, was in college. And this is an example of us needing to do the hard work. One of his classes, he set out to write a paper on why what he had been taught as a young man wasn't scriptural. And on a couple of fronts, on one specifically, actually the specific one he was out to disprove was the veiling. And as he dug into the Word, his paper took a different turn, and he actually wrote a paper in defense of it rather than discrediting it. And it's because he for the first time in his life, as he set out to disprove it and study it, he realized that it was for real in his life. And that's what I mean by we have to do the hard work. Sometimes we can read over Scripture and we can go through and it doesn't impact us at all. I tell you, for me personally, as I dug into this Scripture, I've read that Scripture probably hundreds of times. But as I dug into what Paul is really saying there, it takes on a whole new meaning for us. And that's the hard work that we have to do, each one of us individually.